Hello and welcome to New World Betrays Folk Magician's Notebook, episode for February 2022. These are short monthly episodes that will offer a brief overview of folk magical topics and information that might be useful to you over the coming month. As always, we highly recommend that you also pick up a copy of a reputable and reliable almanac for folk magic, such as the Witch's Almanac, Llewellyn Witch's Datebook, or your local Farmer's Almanac. Let's take a look at the moon for February 2022. The new moon date is February 1st, when the moon will be in Aquarius. The full moon date is February 16th, when it will be in Leo and called the Storm Moon. Notable astrological dates: we will kick off the month with a new moon in Aquarius on February 1st, which will transition into Pisces by February 2nd. This is a favorable time for starting seeds that will bear fruit above ground, in particular things that grow on vines, climb, or cling like peas and beans. We head into the first quarter moon on the 8th, moving from Taurus into Gemini, which will continue to help those peas and beans grow. So this is your pea and bean time. The entire first quarter of the month is good for doing work that involves twining or binding too, including some forms of love magic, binding people together, although always be very careful with this, and binding work to restrict someone from doing some sort of harm. The moon builds to a full storm moon on the 16th in Leo, which is a good time for light pruning of plants and also for doing any preserving, pickling, or canning with the last of your frozen bounty from the previous year. It's also a good time for working jar spells. If you're doing a sweetening jar, you could plan to have it culminate on the full moon in Leo, especially if you want kind of a thundering, passionate romance with a lot of clinging to one another. Even better would be starting a souring jar, if needed, on a full moon, and then letting it ferment through the passage into Virgo, Libra, and Scorpio until it reaches the last quarter in Sagittarius on the 23rd, when you can either finish the spell or double down on it. The Chinese New Year officially starts on February 2nd, with great opportunities for luck and prosperity magic. February 1st is Imulk for those celebrating a Neo-Pagan holiday cycle, and it makes for a good day to honor the returning light by enjoying poetry and a good fire. It's also the feast day for St. Bridget of Ireland, and a time to leave out a bit of cloth overnight to receive her blessing, as well as offerings of carrots for her horses and some milk. The 3rd is Candlemas and the feast of St. Blaise of Armenia, and makes an ideal time to bless and consecrate any candles or other fire-based magical tools for the coming year. And of course, we've got the emergence of the groundhog to watch out for. That will happen on February 2nd and give us an indication of just how much more winter we can expect this year. Now we'll take a look at cards, divination, and a proverb of the month. Our playing card of the month is the Ace of Hearts. This card is a single heart pip floating in a blank white sea. In most cartomantic traditions, a red card is viewed more in a positive light, but it's important to remember that any card can be read in ways that offer something a little rounder and often a little more bittersweet. The Ace of Hearts is a great example of that, because it's often a harbinger of a new romance or a new infatuation with something or someone. It's sort of the honeymoon or crush card, indicating that puppy love feeling, which can also apply to the way we feel when we start learning a new skill, make a new friend, or even begin working a new job. But on the other side of that is this card's sense of isolation. In those early blushes of romance and desire, or in the novelty of the next new thing, we all have the ardor and the eagerness, but often a sense that we don't really know the other person or thing that well, and that as soon as we show a bit more of our true selves, we might endanger any connection we're forming. Well, that can lead to feelings of loneliness and a guarded and protected heart that feels very fragile. So when this card shows up, it's worth reveling in the excitement it offers, but remembering that there's also risk and vulnerability with connection, and that we can feel our loneliest in a crowd or even with someone we love. The tarot card of the month is the Ace of Cups. In the Rider-Waite-Smith deck, this card abounds with Christian and Catholic symbolism because it features a dove descending with a Eucharistic wafer in its beak into an overflowing chalice. This card represents a sense of abundance, but especially in the realm of the emotions and the spirit. It is the Holy Grail, a sacred source of the waters of life, a wishing well, or a fountain of blessings. Yet it can also be a distraction or a disruption to your ability to thrive in the mundane world. When this card appears, it is good to accept the beauty and wonder of spiritual gifts, but it is important to remember that the water from this chalice must eventually flow down to the earth, filling the seas already teeming with life and thickening the mud that becomes the bodies of the creatures of the land. The power of spirit must be mingled with a sense of love and purpose so that it can have direction and application in the life of the spirit bearer. The folk divination method of the month, animal-based weather divinations. There are a lot of animals that provide hints and clues about the movement of weather and seasonality around us. The one most people likely know and think about at this time of year is the famous groundhog, such as our local ones up here in Pennsylvania, like Punxsutawney Phil and Grover the Groundhog over in Schuylkill County. But there are groundhogs predicting weather throughout the U.S. too, like Buckeye Chuck in Ohio or Dunkirk Dave in New York. The tradition of watching the groundhog seems to have followed the Pennsylvania German settlers over from Europe, where they often watched a Candlemas bear or even a badger for similar hints about the lingering days of winter. These traditions also appear in places like England as well. Other animal-based divinations include things like looking at the bands on woolly worm caterpillars. If the bands are thick, then the winter snows will be as well. Or seeing if wasps are building their nests low, indicating a mild winter ahead, or high, be ready for snow. Many farmers will also keep an eye on the skies if their cattle begin laying down in the pasture at unusual times, as they believe it may indicate a storm is coming. Some people also believe that cats wash their faces before a storm, although that's not exactly a scientific indicator, especially if they've just had a can of tuna. Our proverb of the month: do not be so heavenly minded that you are of no earthly use. No. For our folktale this month, I'm actually going to do three short folktales about St. Bridget from the collections of Lady Gregory, found in Henry Glassy's Irish Folktales. Bridget in her youth. Now, as to Bridget, she was born at sunrise on the first day of spring of a bondwoman of Connacht. And it was angels that baptized her and gave her the name of Bridget, which is fiery arrow. She grew up to be a serving girl, the same as her mother, and all the food she used was the milk of a white, red-eared cow that was set apart for her by a druid. And everything she put her hand to used to increase, and it was she that wove the first piece of cloth in Ireland, and she that put the white threads in the loom that have the power of healing in them to this day. She bettered the sheep, and she satisfied the birds, and she fed the poor. When she grew to be strong and have good courage, she went to her father Duthach's house in Munster and stopped with him there. At one time there came some high person to the house, and food was made ready for him and his people, and 5 pieces of bacon were given to Bridget to boil them. But there came into the house a very hungry, miserable hound, and she gave him, out of pity, a piece of bacon. And when the hound was not satisfied with that, she gave him another piece. Then Duthach came and asked Bridget where the pieces of bacon ready, and she bade him count them, and he counted them, and the whole of the 5 pieces were there, not a one of them was missing. But the high guest that was there, and that Bridget had thought to be asleep, had seen all, and told her father what had happened. And he and the people that were with him did not eat that meat, for they were not worthy of it, but it was given to the poor and to the wretched. Bridget's Cloak. Once, when Bridget was a poor girl, she was minding her cow one time at the Kirchfleif, and she had no place to feed it but by the side of the road. And a rich man that owned the land came by and saw her and said, "How much land would it take to give grass to that cow?" "Well, as much as my cloak would cover," she said. "I will give that," said the rich man. And so she laid down her cloak, and it was spreading out miles and miles on every side. But there was a silly old woman passing by, and she said, "Well, if that cloak goes on spreading, all Ireland will be free." And with that, the cloak stopped and spread no more. And Bridget held that land through her lifetime, and never had a rent on it since, but the English government have taken it now and put it into barracks upon it. It's a pity the old woman spoke that time. She did not know Bridget to be better than the other ones. One time St. Brennan came from the west to Bridget, to the plain of life, for he wondered at the great name she had, doing miracles and wonders. And Bridget came in from her sheep to welcome him, and as she came into the house, she laid her cloak that was wet on the rays of the sun, and they held it up just the same as if it was on hooks. Then Brennan bade his serving lad to put his cloak on the rays of the sun the same way, and he tried to put them on, but twice they fell from them. Then Brennan himself put them on, and the third time there was anger upon him, and so that time it stopped on the rays of the sun. Bridget remembers the poor. Well, if Bridget belonged to the East, she was not forgotten in the West, and every year the people went to her blessed well near the sea, praying and remembering her. And in that well, there was a little fish that was seen every 7 years, and whoever saw that fish was cured of every disease. And there's a woman living yet today who's poor and old and saw that blessed fish. And this is the way she tells the story. I had a pearl in my eye one time, and I went to St. Bridget's well on the cliffs. Scores of people there were in it, looking for cures, and some of them got them, and some of them did not get them. And I went down the 4 steps to the well, and I was looking into it, and I saw a little fish no longer than your finger coming up from a stone under the water. 3 spots it had on one side, and 3 on the other side, red spots, and a little green with the red. And it was very civil, coming hither of me, and very pleasant, and wagging its little tail. And it stopped and looked up at me, and gave 3 wags of its back, and went away again under the stone. And I said to the woman that was near me that I saw a little fish, and she began to call out and say there were many coming with cars and horses for a month past, and none of them had seen it at all. And she proved me, asking if it had spots, and I said it had 3 on one side and 3 on the other. That's it, she said. And then within 3 days I had the sight of my eye again. It was surely St. Bridget I saw that time. Who else could it be? And you would know by the look of it that it was no common fish. Very civil it was, very nice and low-key, and no one else ever saw it at all. Did I say more prayers than the rest? No, not a prayer. I was young in those days. I suppose she just took a liking to me, maybe because of my name being Bridget, just the same as hers. There's a lot of discussion around Bridget, Bridget the Saint, Bridget the Goddess, because she seems to cross between the realms of the mythical goddess and the Christian saint pretty readily. Her saint stories tend to emphasize her eagerness to convert those who might have been her worshippers in a more polytheistic era, while her presence in myth is often filtered through the lens of later Christian authors who wrote about her. And while the historiography of Bridget is important, and the scholarship around her legacy and traditions is incredibly valuable, it's also worth considering that she does not only exist in the past. She's a contemporary, accessible figure for Catholics, and she's become one of the most popular goddesses among neo-pagan practitioners as well. And thus, she continues to thrive even today in 2 different forms. Her miracles and stories are often quite magical and frequently involve the natural world responding to her in supernatural ways, as with the sun's rays holding up her cloak. She also shows kindness to the poor, even poor animals, such as the dog. And in doing so, she walks a road between nature and the supernatural, between wilderness and civilization. She's both a smith and a poet, constantly using the power of transformation, as we see with the story of the little fish, and as shows up in things like the Taliesin poem, which involves a lot of transmutation and transformation, although it's not specifically her, it is part of that Irish poetic tradition. There are still folk traditions and sites associated with Bridget, but those are evolving too. For example, there used to be something called Clwydi trees, which are based on the idea of that healing cloth that Bridget blesses when she passes by her sacred sites. But too many people were tying strips of cloth, and that had done some damage to the trees, so now there are alternative methods beginning to appear, such as donations to the sacred sites directly, or leaving the cloth out on the ground or loosely draped in the trees rather than tightly bound to a limb. It seems Bridget's all about change and adaptation, and that is something valuable in the movement of winter into spring as well. We'll finish up our notebook entry with a little charm or craft each month to add a practical element to your work. This time, we'll talk about Rowan crosses or the Bridget's cross. These are simple blessing and protection crosses you can make for your home. They're equal-armed crosses as well, symbols that have had protective history predating Christianity, although their widespread use is likely due to their easy incorporation into Christian traditions. The legends say St. Bridget wove her cross as a way to demonstrate biblical lessons to the people that came to her, but they can also be a wonderful way to create protective wards at your doors to your home. Explaining just how to weave them is a little bit tricky in audio format, so we'll link to a video on how to do that in the show notes. Don't worry, it's not too difficult. You could also make Rowan crosses, which are traditional charms found in places like Northern England and Scotland. These are groups of rowan twigs, although you can use other protective or charmed woods like birch if you prefer, and they're bound into equal-armed crosses with red thread in the center. You'll need to wrap them several times to ensure they hold together. If you've ever made a god's eye at summer camp, you kind of know how this works. The red thread also acts as a sort of magical binding and shield when you're done. These are great for hanging near the entrances to your home as a way to stop anything hurtful from entering. Well, that's it for this entry into your new World Witchery Folk Magician's Notebook, February 2022. Thank you so much for joining us this month. We hope you have a wonderful month ahead of you. If you'd like to support our work and the show, you can certainly do so by visiting us at newworldwitchery.com. You can leave us comments at that website. You can write to us at newworldwitcherypodcast@gmail.com or at compassandkey@gmail.com. We're all over social media as well. You can find us lots of places, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, all those pretty common places there. We're there. They'll also be in our show notes as well, of course. If you really want to, up the support, you can do that by visiting patreon.com/newworldwitchery, where you can pledge $1 a month, whatever you can afford. Throw a little money in our hat, help us get better, and you get some really great perks as well. So that is something that we definitely encourage, and we thank you if you are already doing that. That's absolutely wonderful. Lets us do kind of things like these little mini shows. That will about do it for our Folk Magician's Notebook in February. We'll be back again in March with more, and of course we'll have some more New World Witchery episodes for you this month as well. But until then, thanks for listening. Be well.